This is episode 101, the Dalmatian episode.
I think they call it the 101.
Yes. The 101 North, even though it goes east and west through the valley part.
Oh, that's our I-10 is east west, but it runs north south. Our 101 actually runs north south.
Oh.
Mostly.
This is freeway talk with Dan and Joe. What's the traffic report like right now, Dan?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't go outside. I mean, I went outside to get the mail today, but I haven't gone outside. Oh, it's been a whole week since we talked live on the radio.
That's how
how's it going?
That's how it works. I'm fine. How are you? How was your kidney removal?
It was good. It worked. I showed up with a kidney and I left without one, mm-hmm. whatever the metaphor was that we were going with.
We don't bring me into this.
You played along.
You hurt my feelings, Dan. I only did that to make you feel better on your special little week there. We of course last talked right before your momentous wedding, and then
I don't know about momentous.
It was a big moment for you.
It was a big moment where I cried in front of a bunch of people. It was great.
Yeah, and I saw you cry. Because I was there.
Yeah, that was awkward. Luckily, I think my back was to you most of the time.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. It was, like I said to you before, it was the aw shucks, like, heartwarming crying, not the, oh, this is really awkward. I'm going to, like, try to, like, look somewhere else kind of crying. Like, can I leave? You know, that kind of crying.
Yeah. Coming from you, who, like, hates all social situations, I take that as very high praise.
It was very endearing. And, of course, Amanda was totes adorbs. You know, giggling and laughing along with you while you're choking up. So that was nice. And
yeah, all of that happened.
Yeah, and then you guys did the cake thing. I took a video of you guys doing the cake thing.
You made a video of the cake thing. That was good.
Yeah, and then there was receptions and stuff, and there was a photo booth, and there was some pit bull.
It was one. It was one pit bull.
Yes, a singular pit bull, Uno pit bull. Mm-hmm. So, not 305, not 305 pit bulls. No, but anyway, it was.
Is that a reference to something?
Mr. 305 worldwide. Better do your homework, my beat, though I took the 305 worldwide.
You think they call? Oh, that's his thing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That too because I also listen to Pitbull
all the time. But so it was a wonderful event, and I was glad that I could be there. Jason, of course, accompanied me, and I was just surrounded by friends and family of yours that I'd never met.
Did they make it super awkward?
No, you know, it's just that. In a few instances, I had been described to people, but they had not been described to me. So then I was just like, "Hi."
what sort of description did you need other than cousin or whomever you're speaking about?
Well, I mean, I don't know. They just like ask questions and stuff. I don't know what they do, and then I gotta make the small talk the other way to find out things.
Well, you don't have to. I mean, they're fine.
Okay. Thanks for telling me I should have dismissed your family, but like your mom came up to me when I was at the bar, and it was right before I think the food was served, and they called for us to all to go back to our tables, and I didn't quite know it was your mom because I didn't know who it was, but I guessed it was your mom, and so she
what
came
do you mean?
Up.
She looks nothing like me. How would you not be able to put that together?
Well, I guessed from the way where she had entered in the procession and stuff, but she came right up to me and she started talking to me and she introduced herself, and I was just like, so I just stuttered and stammered right in front of your mother, which is, I'm sure, is charming and endearing and wonderful, and everybody's just like, oh, Joe, you're great. I'm so glad Dan knows you and invited you to be here on Dan's special day.
Mm-hmm, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. That's about as much as I ever do when I talk to her. But no, everyone loved you. It was wonderful. I, you know, There was, it felt like there was zero time to actually speak to any people. I tried to like say hello to people and like hold a conversation, but like every 3 seconds it was like, oh, I have to be over there now. And this is, I'll see you in a minute again.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's a wedding. It's typically what they're like. But
I've never been to one where I'm on that side is all.
Really? It's not a frequent occurrence for you.
This was literally my first rodeo.
It's pronounced rodeo. It's your first rodeo.
Right. Yes. Yeah. No, I've been there a couple times.
Mm-hmm. It's a nice drive.
I talked to the guy at the Sharper Image about Bluetooth headsets one time.
Oh, that's not there anymore.
No, okay, so that's just how long it's been since I was there.
Yes. And I know
you go there all the time for lunch and things because it's right down the street.
Well, I was actually on Beverly Drive, which is the street over from Rodeo Drive, and I bought sunglasses today. So that's what I did.
What kind of sunglasses did you buy?
Some Ray-Bans.
Ray-Ban Aviators?
No. They are lightweight metal frame versions that look like the Wayfarers that they have, but they're just lightweight metal and they have the little nose pads so they don't fall off my face like the plastic ones do. So, I liked it. And I was just like, I don't have black ones. I just have the scratched up brown sunglasses. So I spring for those because I'm going to go wear them when I go to... the San Francisco treat up there.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You got to be fashionable. You're gonna be in the presence of fashion mavens and such.
Well, I mean, one fashion maven. The rest of them, let's be honest. You gotta dress your SoCal best in NorCal, NoCal or whatever. I don't know.
Where was I recently? I saw somebody with a bumper sticker or something that said South Cal. I'm like, nobody says South Cal. Where did you get that?
It's not a thing.
It's not a thing at all. But apparently they were trying to sell. No, it was in the islands. There was a T-shirt that said South Cal in like a surf shop. Like that's not a thing. Don't do that.
Well, you know, it's a faraway land. Speaking of the islands, how was your little event? Mahalo. Welcome back here.
Thank you. It was good. Did a lot of walking. Ate a lot of food, spent some money, and did a lot of things. It was good.
That's good. It looked like you were having a lot of fun on Instagram. There weren't a lot of Twitter updates, but I imagine that's because you were keeping a low profile on the Twitters.
See, the other thing is being 3 hours behind West Coast, Best Coast time, you wake up and like there's like 700 tweets and I just scroll as fast as I can. And it's like, all right, I got to put it back down. I got to go do things for the day. And then you don't check it again until the next day when there's another 700 tweets or whatever it is. So,
yeah, it was it's like that when I go to Hawaii, too, except I usually have like a big morning read through and then I have the evening read through, which is when everybody's like in full swing during the day or it's very strange how it all works out, especially with people in Europe, because then suddenly when you're going to bed they're like up and at them and it's very odd.
I think there was even a part where I was getting ready for bed as Casey Liss was waking up and he chastised me for staying up so late, but it was only like midnight or something, so
I remember that.
I saw the
chastising.
It's fun when we reenact tweets on a podcast.
Yeah, it's hilarious. People love it because it's like text things that happened a while ago that we're not really even fully recounting, so it really just makes us seem like competent professionals. But but
speaking of competent, the other thing that was lovely was that I went there with the full intention of going snorkeling because that's a thing people do there, and Amanda's deathly afraid of scuba diving, so we weren't going to do that. But I managed to not take any contacts, which not super helpful when you're putting on a mask, but kind of didn't really matter because I think my contacts are like 7 years old. So I like panic called my optometrist and they're like, sorry, we can't give you your contact prescription because you just get glasses prescriptions now. So I had to find a optometrist in Hawaii that would like squeeze me in between like other appointments, because of course they're all full because it's like day of stuff. So the guy gave me like the fastest eye check ever, just kind of going off of my eyeglass prescription, and then he's like, here, you need this, and sold me a box of contacts. Like, well, if you ruin these one pair while you're here, you gotta, you know, you'll be out of luck, so you gotta buy six pairs of contacts while you're here, now get out of my office. And I was like, oh, okay, thank you. So here's $60 and I appreciate you fitting me in. And then like the guy with the boat that we were gonna go snorkel with never called us back. So luckily we found a time and a place to do some snorkeling on our own, but that was a fun debacle.
Oh. I've never gone snorkeling.
Wonderful.
Well, I mean, I've gone like snorkel training and stuff, you know, when you would go to like a...
does that mean, putting on a mask and getting into a pool?
Well, I would go to the summer daycare thing when I was a kid, and you know, there was nowhere to stick you at the YMCA, and they had the big Olympic sized pool, and so they'd have different kinds of swimming lessons, and one of them was snorkeling, and you had to do that before you could learn how to do the scuba stuff, and they would have people who would put on all the scuba gear and then go sit in the deep end of the pool for a while, you know, so you gotta learn to pool before you can walk, I just went through that stuff, those things. But I never went in the open ocean because I don't like the ocean.
like at all?
I don't like it at all. And I don't
it's a good thing you don't live where the ocean is.
No, and I don't like sand. It gets everywhere. None of it appeals to me on any level. It's all dirty and gross. And there are so many gross people and gross things. And
and yet you're okay with pools where, like, this is the problem with, like, I used to swim a lot and wear goggles and pools and play around and stuff. But as I've become older and more, like, afraid of things that I shouldn't be afraid of, like, you put on goggles and go into, like, a public pool and it's just all, like, Band-Aids and toenails at the bottom of the pool. I'm like, I don't want to do that. So you go to the ocean where it's just, like, fish and coral and stuff.
No. Pools at expensive hotels.
still have Band-Aids on the bottom of the
pool. And it just crammed full of chemicals. And I feel much better about that.
I mean, you can pour chemicals all over, like, saliva and urine all day long, but it's still just going to be saliva and urine all over you.
It's really pleasant.
It's a metaphor for life.
It's just so pleasant that you brought that up, Dan. I miss you. It's good having you back.
To rain on everyone's parade, including my own.
So, well, now I have a really awkward question. Was the saliva first or second?
In the pool, in this hypothetical metaphor about your life?
Well, yeah, I mean, the saliva and the urine, so which came first?
The saliva came first.
Okay.
Because people are playing in the pool, they're frolicking, they're having fun, and then suddenly somebody gets a mouthful of water, and then they just spit it back into the pool, because like, oh, oops, didn't mean to do that.
Okay.
And then later they've been in the pool for a really long time and they're like, I have to go to the bathroom, but I don't want to get out.
It sounds like you have some theories about this.
It sounds like I grew up around swimming pools all my life and I kind of know the way people deal with them.
Let's breaststroke away from this over to another topic of any kind. And we'll discuss the fact that this is 101, and shortly before you left to be married and go to Hawaii and have a blast, the Incomparable announced that there was a subscription membership program.
Oh, right, that happened.
Yeah, and so we didn't mention that when it rolled out because we had recorded all of our episodes beforehand, and that's dandy. But just in case anyone is curious, you can go to The Incomparable and you can find out more information about the subscription stuff. And there will be links in the show notes if you are into that sort of thing. And that is at defocused.co/101.
Yeah, and you can support the whole network or specific shows or just one show or... whatever you want to do.
Yeah, there's checkboxes. And like I said before, it's basically like there's a little something for everybody. It's like the Cheesecake Factory menu. And so you can pick and choose whatever shows you like. And if you're not familiar with any of the current shows on the Incomparable Network, then go peruse the catalog of available shows. And you'll see things like, you know, Lazy Doctor Who or Unjustly Maligned. And Unjustly Maligned is one of those concepts that Dan and I don't personally associate with because we feel everything's justly maligned. perhaps
nothing is so perfect. That's the other guys.
Nothing is so perfect that it can't be maligned. There's, you know, Robot or Not, fan favorite Robot or Not, which might be the shortest runtime of any of the shows that you could choose to fund. compared to us, which I think we're
at least at least until I get my Glenning podcast off the ground. One of these days,
it'll just be him explaining an association that he has to you, and then you just go, "Uh-huh."
And then that's, yeah, exactly.
That's end credits.
Yeah, basically, it'll be like, "So, Glenn, tell me about some other famous person that you grew up with or know."
Oh, that's good. I mean, Glenn would like that. I think he would enjoy that quite a bit.
Oh yeah, it's been in the works since he was on the on our show. He pitched it, or I pitched it, or somebody pitched it.
Yeah, well,
it was pitched, and then we all got busy and stuff.
Yeah, we, you know, there are things people do from time to time.
He's just an unusual unicorn. I want to talk to him about things.
Yeah, he is certainly an unusual unicorn. And like, you know, in Blade Runner, when it's running in slow-mo and it's got the wobbly, you know, horn.
Mm-hmm. When the guy makes the little unicorn out of the gum wrapper and sets it on the ground.
Yeah, the aluminum foil origami.
Mm-hmm. I make all my origami out of aluminum foil. Did I ever tell you I used to do origami?
No, I did not know that about you. Tell me more.
In the fourth grade, my best friend was a Japanese exchange student named Hiroshi. He was awesome. And we made origami together, like, all day, every day.
What did he do to get punished with Arizona?
I don't actually know. I don't know. I didn't think they did, like, foreign exchange student stuff that early. And he was only there for the 1 year.
Hmm.
But he was cool.
And speaking of school in Arizona.
It was that school.
I believe we have some very important follow-up you listeners of the show might know that we had summarized in our previous episode and on occasions in the past that Dan had a time capsule that was buried behind his weird little school thing there in his horrible desert town. And it was paved over, and he was very concerned that they did not move the time capsule. They just moved the headstone. And he didn't want the court to be haunted. And that basically takes us up to this point where he finally found out today that the time capsule was opened. How many years ago?
Without me. Yeah, we were all making jokes at the expense of Mac OS Sierra. Now that's a thing. And I said, hey, that's the name of the school. It's... Well, the full name is technically Kyrene de la Sierra, because everything is Kyrene de la something here, because it's whatever. Anyway, Sierra is the name of the school. And
can
you link.
Spell Kyrene?
Kyrene. Space D-E space L-A.
That
space
is, that is
Sierra.
A real, that is just a, that is, that is a thing.
Yeah, before that, I went to Paloma.
Isn't
their
that a horse?
Their mascot was a seagull that I believe rode a surfboard.
Oh.
Which is really apt for Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what Sierra is. I think it's just a sun. And then I went to Altadena Middle School, which is also from that SNL skit with Will Ferrell where he plays the keyboard with that weird beard. And then let's see what else. That's all of the elementary and middle schools there, so we won't recount all of my school history. But yeah, so I was Googling Sierra, and then I typed in Sierra time capsule, and it turns out that my memory apparently in second or third grade or whenever we did that was a little foggy. It was not a 30 or 40 year time capsule. It was a 20 year time capsule, and they opened it in 2011, and they had a big thing where everyone from the town could come and see all the stuff that all the kids put in there and all the letters. And apparently we drew on little like frogs and like wrote notes and stuff. So
for the listeners, they were die cut pieces of green paper, mm-hmm, that were shaped like frogs.
It must have been a sale or something at Office Max. They had frog-shaped notepads.
Dan did not draw on a frog and then bury it. This was not...
No, not an actual frog. We don't have frogs here.
No, you remember the Warner Brothers cartoon? He finds the box when they're doing the demolition on the building.
Oh, yeah. The frog in the building that sings a song with the hat.
Yeah.
It's so, not like that.
It was exactly like that. Those singing pieces of paper could have been yours, Dan.
They could have been. But yeah, there was a big event in 2011 for the 20 year anniversary, and then I missed it. So I'll probably send an email and be a weirdo and be like, "Hey, did you keep any of that stuff? Because I want to see what I put in there."
I wonder if they just put it back in the box and they're like, "Another 20 years!" Ha ha ha!
I think the article said something about they were going to do another 20 year time capsule for the current students that are there. But I don't think they would put the same things back in. That'd be weird.
No, maybe
there was a lot of stuff in that time capsule. I was surprised.
How big was it?
I don't know. I think it was maybe like from my memory, which is apparently terrible. I thought it was like a foot and a half wide and like 3 feet long. It wasn't really that big. It was like tube shaped.
Oh, spoiler alert. Paper does not take up that much room.
Well, I think people put like shirts and stuff in there too. I can't remember. I don't know. I don't know who would have put a shirt in there or why. I don't think I put a shirt in there. Maybe I put a shirt in there.
Well,
I wonder if that's where my favorite shirt went.
This, you know, this is just, you think you solved it, and then you just find out there are so many more layers to everything.
It's a sign of good storytelling. Just when you think you got it licked, you don't.
Yeah, it's just like Lost.
I was going to go with Sherlock Holmes or something, but sure.
Yeah. Well, I just like talking about that TV show I never watched, but that's...
It's a really great show. You should watch it, even though everyone got angry.
Yes.
No, I'm kidding. Don't watch it.
That's one of my favorite things about it, is like, everybody's like, oh, it's such a good TV show. And it's like, I overheard the emotional roller coaster that was the Lost fandom that went on. I'm fine. I don't need to go on that ride.
No, it wasn't. It was not an enjoyable ride.
No.
Unlike, however, the miniature choo-choo train that takes you around the Dole Plantation in Hawaii.
I have been on that.
It's great. It's called the Pineapple Express.
I didn't think you would be up for such a thing, so I didn't even suggest it to you. Did you get Dole Whip when you...
Of course we got Dole Whip. I even have a magnet that says I heart Dole Whip, and it's like a little swirly cone that's on our fridge right now. We did that in the Polynesian Cultural Center on our last day because we had done all of the non-touristy stuff for most of the trip.
I am so terrified to look up what is actually in Dole Whip.
It's just pineapple and pinkberry or something, right?
Yes. All natural. I am absolutely sure. Well, there are very few places that you can get Dole Whip here in the mainland.
Oh, didn't somebody say they're going to have Dole Whip at WWDC? Didn't I see that was a thing?
I did not see that, but
I swear I saw that somewhere. When you're up there, you should go get some Dole Whip.
Oh, well, I was about to tell you, there is a ice cream shop on Fairfax and Melrose that has Dole Whip. They also have a lot of other, like, Blue Bunny and stuff, which I don't particularly have any desire to have. But
what's it called?
I don't remember the name of the shop, but just type in ice cream and Fairfax and Melrose. Or better yet, I'll put it in the show notes. And then you can find yourself some Dole Whip.
Yeah, when I'm in LA next time.
Mm-hmm.
Which could happen.
And, you know, do you just believe hard enough and anything can happen.
Mm-hmm. Click your heels together 3 times and suddenly you're in Los Angeles and everything has valet parking.
Well, okay. this seems like it's kind of lame for, you know, clicking your heels together to get somewhere. Seems like you should go somewhere magical.
I mean, that's a pretty good, you know, return on investment. You just click your heels together and suddenly there's valet parking.
Mm.
Not a lot of effort is what I'm saying.
You have to tip for that?
Of course. You have to tip for everything. Apparently, you have to tip for Uber now, too.
Oh, yeah. Controversy. see, I'm a good tipper. I'm a very good tipper. But so much to the point where I've been in arguments with some people who think that I'm tipping too much.
For sure. Yeah. I did that. Did you know Uber just calls taxis in Hawaii? Did you use it in Hawaii?
No, I did not. I don't think we used any taxis when we were in Hawaii because we rented a car both times.
Mm. Oh, we rented the car all 3 times. Halfway through. So, yeah, but apparently you can use the Uber app to order a taxi and it adds $1 to it, but a regular taxi comes up. And it adds an automatic 20% gratuity to it, which you can change later, apparently, somewhere in the app. But since I had no idea, I gave the guy like a 20% tip in cash and then the app just automatically gave him another 20% tip, which was great.
Oh.
He was nice, though.
Yeah, well, good for him.
Yeah.
Living on the island's expensive.
Mm-hmm. He had also lived in Las Vegas, Los Angeles, Vietnam, like Switzerland. I don't remember. He was like from everywhere. That, it was very strange.
That is a interesting combination of things.
Mm-hmm.
But we should steer this conversation back towards California. And the California coast, and further in from the California coast to a certain mountain range known as the Sierra Nevada Pale Ale.
Is that what it's named after? Is it a mountain range?
Yes, the whole mountain range is named after a beer.
But it's singular. It's just Sierra. Did they just pick one mountain to name it after?
Sure.
It's not Mac OS Sierras.
Well, I don't think they wanted to get themselves into a Mavericks situation again. Remember
but
that?
Now all of the other mountains are going to feel left out.
I'm going to be honest with you, Dan. With my my SoCal bias.
SoCal?
My South Cal bias. I'm a little disappointed that it continues to be things that are a little further north.
They're working their way down to you.
Yeah, well, you know what? We've got cool stuff down here too. We've got water and beaches and stuff, and we got mountains.
There's pavement and restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Yakitori or something. I don't know. Like what are you gonna name it after down there?
I don't know. Like Santa Barbara's nice. You could do Santa Barbara.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mac OS Santa Barbara.
San Luis Obispo. A little bit mm-hmm. of a mouthful, but.
Well, I was joking with Scott Williams, Swilliams on Twitter this morning before the name was announced that it would be kind of funny if they just did West Hollywood, because I would just love to hear everyone in the Apple community just say "WeHo" for a full year, just constantly, nonstop. It would entertain me to no end, but I don't think that's going to happen because it's probably, you know. Like he pointed out, not an iconic geographic formation for a desktop photo, but I think you could do like a Lisa Frank thing. Just like
it's a very colorful location, if nothing else.
Yeah, just some rainbows and some glitter. It'll be fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Maybe some fuzzy stickers or like the what do you call it, the puffy glue, puffy paint.
Oh, what if when you bought your Apple computer, the Apple logo stickers that you got were the puffy glue ones?
Oh, that would be so great.
Oh, remember those ones that were like a little bit of the thicker plastic, and they had like water and oil that was like color dyed, and you could smush it, and then it would make the little bubbles go around in it.
Yes,
they were very thick stickers, but you could squeeze it in the box. I think. I mean, the trend is towards thinner Macs, but that just leaves more room for stickers.
Mm-hmm.
Uh huh.
When I was a youngin at Kyrene de la Sierra, I used to collect the very small fuzzy stickers that we actually had a little bit of fuzziness to them, and I never stuck them on anything because I liked them too much. They were too cool. I would just keep the stickers.
Yeah, I didn't care about those, but I liked the scratch and sniff ones because they just smelled like chemicals, and I liked not like bananas or strawberries or anything else, just. It just smelled terrible.
I think my palate is still ruined by one of those scratch and sniff books where it's like, sniff this, it smells like a wild mushroom. And I can still smell exactly what that smell was to this day, and I haven't smelled it in probably 30 years.
I'm confused about why you would want to smell a wild mushroom in a
book.
Well,
it's like a kid's book that's like, oh, this is the smell of a strawberry, and this is the smell of, you know, what, plants and animals and stuff.
This is horse manure.
One of them was a mushroom, and I so distinctly remember the smell. It is horrifying.
Yeah,
probably why I can't stand cilantro to this day.
I don't think that's related to mm-hmm. that.
It heightened my senses for terrible things.
that's sure. That's how the plant genomes work with that, with the fungus and the you're right. I am not.
There are a lot of scientific discoveries that have not yet been made.
I am not a mushroomologist, so I concede your cilantro point. So the dub-dubs, and they announce the thingies with the stuff, and sometimes, occasionally, we talk about media things on the podcast, and
what do you want to start? You want to talk about the TV?
Yeah, I basically only want to talk about the TV, because everybody's going to talk about everything else, because they think that's all cool. Like, oh, look, my shared pasteboard works on things. It's like, yeah, I know, it's great, I have it too, go talk about it for 3 weeks. You know what I want to talk about? Dark mode on TV. That's what I want to talk about.
Mm-hmm. And now, you're an authority in this space in particular, because on June 11th of this year, 2016, Mac Stories ran an article called Joe Steele's TV OS Wishlist.
Yes. Mac Stories ran an article. Late last week, when all the wish lists were circulating, notably the ones from Six Colors, which is, of course, Jason Snell's website, which is, of course, Jason Snell of the Incomparable, which, of course, is bias and nepotism and blah, blah, blah. I don't care.
He's our boss. We have to say nice things. He's not really our boss, no. But he's technically our boss.
I'm going
to
say terrible things about him. Jason Snell is horrible. No, hey, he's fine. I'm looking forward to meeting him again.
He eats pineapple on his pizza like you, doesn't he?
Yes.
One of those guys.
You know, I don't feel like I get enough credit for pineapple on pizza. I think that I think that's one of those things where it has been co-opted by all of Relay FM.
I ate a lot of pineapple in Hawaii, but I didn't put any of it on pizza.
Ah, it's fine. Pineapple in Hawaii is delicious because it's slightly different from the Costa Rican pineapple, which is normally what you get on the mainland.
Yeah, you pick it right out of the ground. You just take a bite out of it.
It's not in the ground, but
it's on top of the ground, like a foot or two.
Yeah, it's in a bush, which is rather unexpected.
Take a look.
It's in a bush.
That's how the song goes, right?
Yes. Dole Whip Rainbow. So the TV,
it got dark.
Yeah, it got a dark mode, which is one of those things where I was just like, hey, guys, you should be turning off this TV in the middle of the night. And it's just like, oh, my God, my eyes. But I am 100,000,000% sure that no one at Apple read any of the things that I had on my wish list.
I don't know.
You're right.
They read Federico stuff.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm fairly certain that no one read it within the couple days it would have taken before the presentation to turn this around.
You mean whether or not they developed it based on your comments? No, I don't think that's possible.
I think that what I had to say was so blatantly obvious that it was natural that everyone would arrive at those kinds of conclusions.
That's how we really connect with the audience. We say things that are so blatantly obvious that it has to be true and has to resonate with people.
Yeah, well, you see, the thing is, everyone else is afraid to say them. Not us, though. Not you and I. We're cool saying things. Because we're good at saying things all the time. Like right now, we've just said saying things like 4 times? I don't even know how many times we said saying things.
Physically capable of making words with our vocal cords.
Oh, fantastic work, Dan. I applaud you and your effort there.
I am a little bummed that in the pursuit of your dark mode, they took away all of the dark tinting on everything else. Like all of the notification center junk on iOS is now like super bright and white. And I have no idea why. And yet now you get a dark mode on your TV.
Yeah.
And I still think the dark mode on Mac OS, formerly OS 10, which is probably how we're going to have to say it for the next 6 months, is still horrible because when you invert it, the menu bar is dark, but the text is like bright white. Like they need to knock that text down to like 70% before the dark mode on OS 10 is even remotely useful to me, at least. But no, you got all the fun dark mode on your TV OS.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. I don't use dark mode on my Mac OS at all because of those reasons that you said. Also, not everything is fully equipped to handle it. So then you get things that are gross looking, which I find jarring. Like when you get a little white edge around something or a little black edge around a thing, and then
the menu bar icon for 1Password still doesn't know how to gray itself out on your secondary or tertiary monitors. It's just solid dark all the time. So, you know, it happens.
Oh, it happens to the best of us. That's one of those things where on the TV it's very welcome, though. I do wish that on the desktop it would be more like Katana or Nuke or any of the professional apps where there's sort of a low contrast, dark gray, and you know. Anyway, look at any of those applications and you'll be like, oh, I can see why people would use this to work on video or photos. But
just fire up your local copy of Katana or Nuke and take a look at what we're talking about.
Or, you know, Google for some screenshots. It's one of those things where it's like, I think somebody described the notion of what it was to Apple, and it was like, oh, so we'll make it black, so then we got to make everything white. And it's like, guys, it's really about the contrast, too. I'm looking forward to testing out how the TV interface works for that, because I think it's just a matter of making the giant white background not white, and then it'll be better.
You're going to do the beta?
I believe I will, because as I have said on Twitter a couple times today, I don't see how it could possibly be any worse. Because it is, and it continues to be a device that has no backup system either. So even if it goes completely wrong and haywire, I'll just wipe it over and start over again from scratch.
Yeah, you got your single sign-on, so that'll make it easy to wipe it and start over. And
Dan, I want to tell you a couple things about single sign-on. It requires developers to opt into the program and put the code into the apps.
Oh, that's going to work out real well.
It's going to work out super well. I can think of like 5,000 different ways in which every single app maker will either be slow to roll it out or will just go, oh, I don't actually think we want to have Apple in control of this. We just want to have our own sign-in process. And then you're just screwed. And so I just don't look forward to any of that at all, really. I would love the world in which single sign-on worked. I like that they expanded Siri functionality so that you can pick through things a little better. But I don't know if you've noticed this, but if you ask Siri for something and it returns a lot of results, you can only see like 10 because it doesn't really scroll through all of the things. So maybe that's different and I will have to see. But if it's just like, here are the top 10 things for 80s comedies, then I'll just be like, okay, Eddie Q, this is an amazing feature because there are so many things that are funny in the 80s. That it doesn't, it goes past, it surpasses the list.
Well, you know, at least now your scrolling experience will be better because you don't have to use the stupid upside down remote thing. March came a little late this year, didn't? Sorry.
Well, they've talked about this iOS remote app for, since I think at least January, Eddie Q said it in like a Bloomberg interview or something. And then he went on the talk show with Craig Federighi and they talked about it there too. And it's a nice idea that they did this because this is something everyone's been asking for because you know what really, really was horrible was text entry for all the things you had to log into before single sign-on existed, before the old remote app even worked with the TV. So it's interesting that they finally went, oh yeah, we have exactly all of the same sensors and touch capabilities on our very expensive phone that we have on this tiny little sliver of glass that we sell to people. That's nice, but I want to see how that works in practice, because if it's one of those things where it lags severely, then it's only really going to be useful when you have to enter a lot of text.
And that your concern for lag is because the remote is IR and Bluetooth and the phone is only Bluetooth?
No, my concern for that is just because you got to launch the app and you got to wait for it to load and sync its state with whatever it thinks it was last doing with the TV and that stuff. Like, I don't know if you've used the current remote app with your third gen Apple TV.
Yeah, it's not good.
It's not buttery smooth, is it? So if it's...
Oh, you mean the scrolling? I just mean all of it in general. It's just slow and like punts you from screen to screen and you can only see the devices button and like half of the views. It's really terrible.
Yes. And so if
wait,
if
I gotta ask, do you do this thing? I always launch the remote app and I have to either be really fast or really slow because inevitably I open it and my iTunes from my laptop is there, and as soon as I go to hit it, my TV shows up and I end up hitting the TV instead of the iTunes one, and then I have to hit no done, and I have to hit back, and I have to hit devices, and then go over to iTunes. I either got to be really fast to get to it before the TV shows up, or I have to wait till the TV shows up and then click in a different place.
I don't have that problem.
But it's the worst.
I've had a weird thing where it presents two different Apple TVs to me, that are my Apple TV. I can't delete them, but they both control the TV. It's anyway. The current hackery of getting the old app to work is bad, and I'm looking forward to the new app, but if it isn't much better than using the old app, then I'm going to be disappointed, even if it does all these fancy doohickey things. And there's a number of other things that I've been asking for that it doesn't really do, but they did bring things like a live TV stuff, so that's neat. They didn't do anything to clear up the issues surrounding the content for cord cutters versus the content for people who have cable subscriptions, because as something I've complained about since, I don't know.
Didn't you say live video channels like four times?
Yeah, he said video channels many times, and I was just cracking up at that because it was like they're all applications. They're not channels. You're not flipping channels. So the problem with that though is like if you have the CBS app, then you have to have a CBS All Access thing in order to use it, or a cable subscription. There are some apps where you have to have a cable subscription in order to use it, or nothing works, or you have to have a cable subscription to use it and some things work, or you have to have a online subscription for it and no cable subscription, and those work. But there's no real distinction. So if you're a customer who is not interested in getting a cable subscription, a cable or satellite subscription, there's no way to limit what you're shown in the app store or what's downloaded to the device or any of that. So it's just like, way to go, guys. And there's also, they didn't solve the problem of app discoverability of like, hey, I found some neat thing I want to load and it's on Twitter. Let me put that on my TV, because you can't do that. What you
can said the thing where it'll automatically install when you install it on your phone.
But not every tvOS app has an iPhone app.
Yes, I know that was a it was terrible for them.
I know, but I was just explaining for the audience who wasn't going to get your subtle humor. So anyway, remember last episode when I said we went over our two TV Apple TV episodes when I said skip this episode.
Yeah.
You know, before we turn this into one of those, we should probably move on. So I'm not super optimistic about the Apple TV, and Eddie Q is not a very good presenter, turns out. And so
I'm telling you, he was just nervous about tonight's basketball game and his team lost. So, you know, I guess he didn't do enough prep for the game.
He didn't watch enough Steph Curry clips on YouTube. But the
he's been legitimately like courtside, like in his face for the past several games. And I tried to see him tonight. I watched the end of the game where they lost by 16. I couldn't see him. I don't know if he was there. I don't know if he's contractually obligated to like hang out with Apple people or no.
Did you look for the flip flops?
No, I didn't. He just usually wears a black T-shirt or a bright yellow T-shirt and shouts a lot and like stands on the court where he's not supposed to stand.
Eddie.
You can usually see him in the background when the team's having a little huddle talking to the coach. He's just kind of like peering in over their shoulders like, hey guys, can I get in there?
Yeah. So that's charming. And also there's no like tvOS apps for the phone. Like any of the TVML apps that are for tvOS can't be ported to the phone. You have to make your own iOS app that does all of the same things as your TVML app. So
what's a TVML?
TVML is the TV markup language thing, where it's basically like you write markup, and it creates those black screens with a menu bar on the top and populates a list of shows you can click through based on feed data that you give it.
Mm.
So, yeah. Now there's fancy pants stuff that they have in the developer release notes for it, where it's like you can now embed video that can start auto playing as you scroll through entries, so that as you're scrolling through a list, you could start loading the video of what the content is going to be. I imagine that is going to be slow as heck, and not actually load at the speed that you're flipping through the items. So hopefully it doesn't delay the flipping through items part. But we'll see how that goes. And they didn't add picture in picture, which is bananas to me. Because they added it to the Mac, so last year they put it on the iPad, and then this year they put it on the Mac, and picture-in-picture, I don't know if you're familiar, it was originally something that happened for television. It was It was a thing so that you could watch two channels of television at the same time.
I know. You remember when TVs had that for the first time, and there was a button to flip between them? It was magic.
Yeah, well, it wasn't really, I didn't really use it, but apparently a lot of sports buffs loved it. But what I would like it for is just so I can like change the channel, as it were, in terms of navigating complex hierarchies of application structural data to find
out.
So you
don't have to go back to the silent menu screen in between stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you want your buffer show, like,
yeah, for sure.
This is when you're looking for something else. You bring up the TV guide. You're like, okay, so what else do we have that is better than this? You guys bid to me. Like, what do you got out there? Like, let's work some stuff. Okay, you got tiny houses. I don't want tiny houses. Okay, you got Chopped. Maybe. Oh no, it's Chopped Canada. No, that's a hard pass. you sort through the stuff, and then you're like, I guess I'm better off just sticking with the show I was already watching.
Absolutely. And then 10 minutes later, you look through the list again and go, all right, have I lowered my standards yet enough to see if there's anything else that qualifies? And you basically look through the same stuff again. But that is a huge, like, continuity break when you have to just exit out of a playing thing to look at a silent list, which nothing, if you're home alone watching TV, nothing makes you feel like more of a lonely human being than like navigating a tree or like a list of TV shows while nothing is playing in your house, just silence.
It's a comforting thought. And then they're like, and it's a HomeKit hub. And I'm like, oh, for bleep, 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 all of those.
But you can say good morning to your phone, and it'll turn stuff on. And open your electronic curtains that I'm sure you have.
Oh no! Well, I love when it was introduced, and it was like, yes, we launched HomeKit 2 years ago, and it changed the way that people were making home devices. I was like, what?
No. No. There's some colorful light bulbs that you can turn off with some things.
Yeah, and the part they failed to mention is almost all of those work way better with competing services from Amazon or the proposed competing services from Google. So the fact that it's like, yeah, HomeKit changed the world, it's like, I don't know. We're talking about the same world. Is this like a small world thing? Like the ride? I don't know. Maybe they control all the little people in the small world ride with the little Wiimote switches, as the boat goes through. But the thing with HomeKit is like that's a bizarre thing to add as a hub, to that rather than to something like a router, because it's your TV, so it's just not really suited to that, doesn't seem.
The future of television is apps that control your lights.
Oh my god, when Tim said it again at the end of the thing, I was just like, Tim.
He said it so many times. Tim, I watched the State of the Union too. They said it like five more times.
Oh, I didn't watch the State of the Union. I couldn't do it. Did they really?
Yeah, the guy, it's like they have to say it. You know, say, with tvOS, the future of whatever is apps, and we believe that because the future of TV is apps, henceforth, it's like somebody reading like a fourth grade book report, and all they remember is like the tagline for the book. That is why the future of TV is apps. Thank you very much.
Oh man, it's rough because apps are not exactly frictionless. So it's kind of frustrating that it's just chalked up like that. But you know, maybe we'll get to the future eventually. We're just definitely not there yet. And
one of those things. Time can't stop it.
No. Time is the fire in which we burn.
Sure.
Yeah.
Is that the Dune thing again?
No. But
it Star was, Trek.
It was in a Star Trek movie. And that was a Soren in Star Trek Generations.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, that was one of the ones you made me watch, was
no,
it?
No. I wouldn't embarrass you by quoting from the movie that you know so well. So yeah.
It
was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm.
TVOS.
Message Spock. None that I'm conscious of, Captain. But anyway, so
I still don't have one. I'm still debating on whether or not I should buy one.
The fourth gen.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you have wedding money burning a hole in your pocket, I don't think you do.
substantially less of it now.
Yeah. I wouldn't really recommend it, especially since it's a beta for a thing.
I just mean in general. Do you think there's going to be a fifth gen out by the time the software lands?
Who bleeping knows? When a couple days ago, one developer made the trip down to Cupertino and went to the Apple store that's inside of the Apple campus, and they have different shirts that you can buy, which is a thing that they do. And so sometimes they put in special shirts that are for events, and they had special shirts in for WWDC, and one of the shirts had a XY and then the Apple logo and a B and a diamond pattern. And XYAB and a diamond pattern is the controller buttons for the MFI game controllers, but Apple doesn't make a first party game controller. So there was some speculation briefly, like, oh my God, maybe they'll finally make one, or, you know, whatever. It seems weird that they just make a t-shirt for the MFI program. Well, it turns out they made a t-shirt for the MFI program. But maybe this fall they'll finally have an aluminum plank that doesn't sit comfortably in your hands and you can use it to play the games.
I look forward to that. No, I don't. I'm just kidding. No. I want a new phone. I want my watch to keep working, and then I want a new computer.
Yeah.
I don't really care about the Apple TV that much.
I think that is the general consensus of literally everyone on the planet Earth right now. And unfortunately,
I did the stupid thing again recently. I rented a movie on my phone.
Oh.
Because I forgot that you can't just watch it wherever you want, so I had to AirPlay it from my phone to the TV, which only dropped out. It only dropped out once, but then it just kept pausing and buffering numerous times, even though I'm pretty sure it was downloaded on my whatever. But and then the other thing that I still don't, I swear to God, if anybody says Plex, I will slap you. The thing where I add movies to my iTunes library on my laptop, and the only way to see them is to be on the Wi-Fi with the home sharing, and then it still lags and buffers, even though there's literally nothing else going on in the house, drives me insane.
Plex.
I'm not going to do it.
No, me neither.
I don't need any more infrastructure. Just make the things do the things that they're supposed to do. Just put it in the iCloud, in the cloud, iCloud Drive in the cloud thing where all of my stuff is going to go when I run out of hard drive space.
Yes. A little intelligently delete your files.
It's Fusion Drive, but the stable part has been moved to iCloud Drive.
I can't wait for the 3 weeks of back and forth articles that will be spawned by the dynamic deletion of certain items on your hard drive. I don't know if you recall, like a month ago, when everyone got very anxious about what iTunes was doing with some original tracks when Apple Music would try to ingest them. But I imagine a similar thing occurring. You'd be like, mm-hmm. Oh no, iCloud Drive ate my family photos, and be like, yep, sounds about right.
So, and then there was that thing where the new Notes ad came out, and they're like, we really got it this time, guys, and you can do all kinds of cool stuff with the Notes app now, guys. And everyone's like, all right, I'm going to give you a try. And then like 4 months later, they're like, yeah, I deleted my notes.
Yeah, and what I love is now you can collaborate on notes. But
sure.
But it's not like real-time collaboration. And it's like, I don't know. It's just, you guys, man.
And you won't know if you, if iCloud Drive ate your note or your mom accidentally swiped it and deleted it.
Yeah. And she won't know either, because she might have just accidentally opened the application and deleted it. She saw a list of things. And the other bizarro stuff, like we have observed from a VFX angle, is the tabbed interfaces for every app.
Everything's in a tab. You know, on one hand, I am optimistic that like potentially Photoshop's tabs will be usable now. But on the other hand, it's like, so are you gonna take like the 5 Nuke tabs that consist like one project and then stick that into one OS tab, and then in my other tab I'll have 5 more tabs? And how is that gonna work?
Yeah. See, here's the thing, because it's basically an application window, so it's condensing application windows into one window with basically a toggle bar at the top to go back and forth between those application windows, so it's not going to do anything to make the space have less stuff in it, because it's going to have exactly the same amount of stuff, and those things aren't going to really work smartly back and forth between one another, because there's still separate application windows under the hood, is my understanding. So in the case of Nuke, where you have, let's say, 4 panes that have multiple tabs in each pane, and for those who are not familiar with Nuke's layout system, it is basically a sort of like old web like HTML frames, where you would have stuff that you could slide up and down. You could like grab the thing and move it, and so you could resize different parts of the window panes to be bigger or smaller. And within each of those little quadrants, you have a tabbed interface that lets you look at different panels for different options like properties bins and node graphs and the curves for animation and blah, blah, blah. And you can arrange them however you want to. But add to that the fact that there is now another tab which is on top of all of the other tabs, which lets you toggle to another instance of all of those panes and tabs.
All the great hierarchies.
It sounds like such a mess. You know, for some applications, like he's like, oh, look, mostly featureless maps is great for this.
Right. I'm still waiting for a solution for things like... like, I guess I haven't launched Premiere since I got the Apple Cinema display here. So, like, my windows are no longer aligned with what they're supposed to be aligned with. And how that manifested itself in Premiere is that the top and left corners of the timeline are off the monitor. And if you've been using, what about El Capitan here, whatever this is, 1011, when things go off one monitor, mm-hmm. they're invisible on the other monitor. That you can only see the window on the monitor where it is like at least 50% visible. So like it doesn't like show you. You can't span one window across two monitors. Like it just hides it. So what that results in is my inability to like move the timeline down where I could see it, because like the thing that I would have to grab to move it is off the screen and I can't find it. So I have to just like reset all of the apps, like window layout parameters, put them back in their new position for my new monitors, and then save that somewhere else. And it's like, How is that still a problem? And yet we're just going to add tabs to everything. Sure, add a tab to things. Why not?
Well, I think adding a tab to things is like one of those features where you're just like, oh, what does it hurt? Sure, why not? It looks like we did something.
It takes like 10 minutes. Yeah. And you know, it's an OS level thing.
Yeah, because it's just saying like, hey, look, these two windows, they're one window. And we made a button. You toggle on the button.
It's like that game you play with infants where you have one finger up on each hand and then you bang your hands into each other and suddenly there's two fingers on one hand and zero on the other. It's like, how did I send my finger from one hand to the other?
Oh, boy. So that's the thing which is peculiar for pro apps. But there's another thing which is extremely peculiar, which you found.
See, I don't want to jump the gun here because, you know, some of this might be just speculation. We haven't actually seen how it affects things in practice, but I have a sneaking suspicion that basically half of what I do for a living is going to break in Mac OS, formerly OS 10 Sierra.
Do you want to explain why that is? Why so, your heavily caveated
yeah,
statement?
Yeah, so apparently I have to find the gentleman's name who tweeted it first. QuickTime, the application, is no longer installed with the operating system, and it appears that all of the QuickTime, Objective-C, and Swift libraries have been removed and or deprecated and are just like not there. So I guess everything built into macOS, formerly OS 10 Sierra, is now AV Foundation or whatever it is. So everything that uses QuickTime Kit, which is like most editing systems, particularly things like QuickTime 7 or Final Cut Pro 7, which basically just add a complicated interface on top of QuickTime where you can cut QuickTimes together and stick them together and stuff. All of those things are just going to break. Like, they're not going to work because QuickTime's not going to be there. They're going to call an Objective-C library. And it's just going to be like, nope, this doesn't exist. So basically, the assumption is that Final Cut Pro 7 dead because they stopped updating that. Final Cut Pro 10 is fine because that's on their AV Foundation thing. A lot of the Adobe applications that have to do with video are probably going to be broken for now, but they probably have time to update before the actual release. Like, Lord knows if they will properly.
No, the last time that they did, when they did the El Capitan update, there were some software changes that affected underlying libraries, which Adobe was relying on, and they didn't change the stuff before El Capitan was released. So then the advice was not to update your Adobe applications, which automatically update in the background. Mm-hmm. So Adobe does not have their stuff sorted when it comes to that, and I don't expect them to. It took them several months after, I think it was like a month or two after the release of El Capitan, before they were just like, okay, now you can use this version of Adobe and it won't break.
Yeah, I mean, because they've been trying to move to their like Mercury playback engine and trying to do some of their own stuff internally. But yeah, I mean, the basic, I think even if you do all of that underlying stuff for the playback within your app, the core functionality of bringing a QuickTime video into your app and then interacting with it in that fashion and then making a QuickTime file out of your app, you know, the I/O portions of that, which are pretty important to most of these apps, those still are just based on, you know, the stuff that's been in QuickTime for a decade or whatever. So like, people just kind of assume that those are there. So why would they write their own? So that's going to break. Avid will, it'll likely break the importer and exporter for Avid, but the editing system, again, will probably be fine because they've been using their own proprietary nonsense forever. The Foundry just went through, because QuickTime on Windows just broke, what, like a couple months ago? Like, it just wouldn't work. So they finally removed all of the QuickTime dependencies in the app for Windows so people could use Nuke again. Now it's just, it seems like they'll be able to port some of that code over to Mac OS. That sounds so weird to say. And then, yeah, like Resolve, I think, same thing. QuickTime importer is probably going to be broken. Their editing tool is probably going to need a little bit of rewriting. So it's like, basically everything I touch on a daily basis is going to break in the next version of macOS because QuickTime's gone. Unless they're just going to make QuickTime like an installer like QuickTime 7 has been forever, even though QuickTime 10 is loaded on the on the computer.
And QuickTime 10 Pro will be an IAP.
Sure. Yeah. You install QuickTime 7, and then you put in your QuickTime 7 Pro serial number that you bought on Apple.com 15 years ago. And then once you have that, you can unlock an in-app purchase for QuickTime 10, And then you can finally have all your fun 4K codecs and stuff.
Oh, we got to subscribe for those.
Sure, sure. Yeah. But they added subscriptions to news and another thing, so...
News is a garbage fire, and I don't like it.
I'm like cautious about this kind of stuff, like the beta stuff. Like, I'm less cautious than I probably should be, as you always make fun of me for. But like, I am genuinely tempted to install macOS Sierra just to see how many apps fail to launch, because I think it's going to be all of them.
I really don't think you should do that, because I don't think you have the time to deal with your little experiment.
I got about a month. I could do a super duper backup and then like blow the whole thing up and then restore.
I think you could just edit this episode and then that would be great. And then you wouldn't have to worry about your ample free time.
Oh yeah, no, I that too. But like, I don't have like a
burn.
Video. I don't have like a video project until like the 1st of August. So
okay. Yeah, sure.
I got time to set my computer on fire and then restore.
I really think this is a bad idea, Dan.
It's a really bad idea. I don't want to do it. Although I do need to buy a new computer. So if I buy a new computer, I'll totally do the beta on my laptop.
Well, you know, it's a good thing they had all that new hardware that was announced at WWDC, because it's for developers, and the place mm-hmm. you can get people who are really excited about the Macintosh as a platform is probably at WWDC.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. How do you like the new Retina Pro with the Sandy Lake Bridge and the USB 3C Thunderbolt ports and the optical bar things?
In all seriousness, did you see the announcement that Intel finally has a chip in the next iPhone?
No, what is it? Is it like some controller that like...
It's the modem chip for AT&T phones.
Oh, dear.
So like... They're gonna split their order between Qualcomm and Intel for the modems for the next iPhone, which I think is just hilarious, because that's like the smallest percentage of the things that Intel does, and I just think it's still so hilarious that they have not been able to get their stuff together to make a chip that is like capable and competent on a mobile platform so far. Although everyone's like hailing, like, oh, you know, they're finally getting it together after all these layoffs and stuff. It's like they're really. They made a modem chip that fits in the iPhone that Apple's like, yeah, I guess. What's the harm?
I love the, what was it? The, was it Morristown or whatever? The, it must have been like 7 or 8 years ago when they had the x86 that was for phones. You remember that? The like tiny low power x86 single core thing?
Probably. You mean... you mean the thing that had like that proof of concept, the thing that looked like an iPhone but it was a foot long and just all glass?
Yeah, and it was like 10 pounds.
Oh no, it wasn't 10 pounds. It didn't work. I played with it. It was just a piece of plastic with an LED behind it.
Oh,
I mean, spoilers, I should say, like that was not a real phone. People know that was just a piece of plastic with lights behind it, right?
What's your favorite part of your NDA?
I didn't sign an NDA, did I?
I'm pretty sure that for your employer, you probably
okay. So to clarify. I did not see that in a lab. That was held up on stage at some sort of presentation where I was working backstage, like running projectors or something. And then mm-hmm. like afterwards I went up and I'm like, oh, can I see that thing? And I'm like, oh, this is a piece of plastic with battery in it.
Yeah. So anyway, they had that as that was like their killer thing to get back at ARM.
Mm-hmm. And that was back when they also invented that 80-core chip that was supposed to be like, ooh, look at all the great multi-threading.
Oh, that the real-time ray tracing on that has been amazing and has really impacted the industry that we live and work in. And by that, I mean...
Not in the slightest.
It's vaporware. They even canceled it before it even came to market. Because they were finally like, hey, you know what? No one really wants to ray trace this like pre-programmed Quake simulation because that's not really applicable to anyone's daily life.
No.
Because it was like they kept showing this demo that was like, I don't know, Quake 1. And it was just ray traced. Like they had all the same textures and stuff. They just turned on ray tracing for the light sources to cast shadows and indirect light. And it was just like a noisy mess. And it was just like, but look, it's real time. And it's like, but like literally everything else looks better than this. And so I don't know what you guys are thinking.
You know, they can make the tech. They're not necessarily visionaries when it comes to how it should be used.
What was your favorite part about working in that department where you would make the videos?
There were a lot of demos like that that you would see and you would go, well, I see what you're doing, but why? Like, there was another, like, years later, they did the thing that was basically, like, really terrible looking CG, but it would, like, mimic your facial expressions in real time on, like, a model of, like, I don't know, like Tweety Bird or like an emoji or something. It's like, okay, so, but why? But it's real time on the chip. I'm like, okay, sure.
But like, why?
Whenever they add, like, sure, on the chip decoding for, I think originally it was, what, like DivX, and then it's, you know, H.264, now it's H.265. Like, that's fine. People get that. But, like, all of these other demos are ridiculous. Oh, also, the code names are great. Like, I remember being there when the first Apple TV came out. It was codenamed Blue Dolphin, which was, sure, Blue Dolphin.
Hmm.
Yeah. I also remember seeing the first 6-core Xeon. We're just, like, wandering around one of the labs one day shooting some video, and I saw this, like, chip come out on the thing, and I was like, that has 6 die on it. What is this? He's like, oh, you didn't see that. Because it was, like, it was literally, like, 2 years before that even came to market. Like, we're testing that. I'm like, oh okay. Cool. I look forward to that. And then I was like, what is this really small thing over here? And I'm like, yeah, that was the Apple II. No, the really small one was the first MacBook Air.
Oh, that was the crazy pants, the Core Duo, whatever it was.
Yeah, with the flip down slot with the USB thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember seeing that too. And I was just like, what is this? What magical device is this going to go into? And it's like, oh, is the really slow, really thin one that fits in this little like vanilla envelope, but nobody really wanted to buy it. Anyway, there are a lot of good stories like that. Like, people would come in with tech demos and stuff, and it's just like, what is this? Like, why are you you spend a year on this? Why?
Don't know. No clue. But that's going well for them, and mm-hmm. they don't have hardware. And so we just have these software updates.
I look forward for the large Intel Inside sticker on the back of my next iPhone.
Totally get it. I mean, could you imagine if they brought back the suit guys? That would really sell it.
Have you seen their latest ad campaign with Jim Parsons? Like, they've moved on to the next phase of ad campaigns with him. Have you seen the new ones?
No, I'm kind of scared by this. What were the first phase with Jim Parsons?
The first ones were people like were using like a clunky old laptop, and Jim Parsons would step in and go, at Intel, they have a computer that can do this, this, and this. And then they'd be like, wow, that's awesome. And it was just really boring because it was just like, at Intel, they can do this. At Intel, they can do that. And now what they are is like people are doing something where they're like being thwarted by their old computer, and he pops up, and the person goes like, I know the new computers do all this fun stuff. And he just basically goes, then why are we still dealing with this junk? Why don't you get a new one? And it's like, you know about the new stuff. Now it's time to get one. That's literally what the ad campaign says. You know about the new PCs. Now you should go buy one.
Oh, my God.
We've run out of features to market to you. So now just remember those features we talked about? Buy one.
Well, they don't really... They just don't have features. Like, it's just... It's a
okay,
chip.
Let me describe one to you. The last one I saw... It's a guy working in an armored car, and they're like loading stuff into the back, and he's sitting in the driver's seat with his laptop, and he goes like, no, I got hacked. All of my money disappeared. And Jim Parsons is in the passenger seat. He's like, you know, the new computers. He's like, I know the new computers have awesome security, and I can unlock my computer with my face. And he's like, okay, so you're a security guard, and you know that there's secure computers that you can unlock with your face, but you just didn't do it. And then he says some other sarcastic things, and they're like, now you should go buy a computer where you can unlock with your face because it's secure and you won't lose all your money. It's like, what?
I can't even, Dan.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty great. Pretty great. Although, I'm not going to say mean things.
Okay. We were saying nice things before.
Yeah, we were saying... not mean things before.
Oh, okay. I see how it works.
I wish them well. I really do wish them well because they are a good company full of lots of good people, and they have the capability of doing lots of things, but they have no idea how to sell the things that they make. No idea whatsoever.
Okay, Dan.
Anyway. Luckily, none of them are going to listen to an hour and 11 minutes of the show or whatever this is.
No, I'm pretty sure that that's not happening.
Except maybe Jeff. Hi, Jeff.
Hello, Jeff. But yeah, no.
You met Jeff. He sat across the table from you.
I did meet Jeff. But
he kept running away. Oh, Andy was there, too.
Yes. I your kidney removal.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Anything else you wanted to talk about?
No, I think we covered all of our bases. We addressed your kidney removal, your absence, your the subscriptions, the dub-dubs, and that puts a pretty little bow on it, I think.
And that is why the future of TV is apps. Thank you.